The best way to predict the future is to invent it. Stephen Ambrose brings you up to speed on what the future holds as he explores the latest technology as it impacts our lives.
Well, good morning and welcome to Tech Talk right here on High FM. And as usual, we are going to look at all the gizmos, gadgets, and technologies that shape our lives, change what we do, and keep an eye on the future of what is coming down the line in terms of all the new AI stuff. I mean, AI, if you're not talking AI, you're not talking tech. In truth, the two are becoming synonymous with each other, which is quite scary because gadgets used to be simply electronic gear that we played with, enjoyed, made our lives a little easier, you know, from vacuum cleaners to smart fridges down to who knows what. But today's episode is going to be focused very strongly on mid-range to high-end cameras and mostly mobile, in fact, because today I would say 95, maybe even greater percent of photographs that are taken on a daily basis are taken on a mobile phone, are used either for social media or just simply to store and remember for your friends and family, shared on various platforms, WhatsApp groups, you name it. So the old art of photography, while it has not gone away, it has certainly changed in significant ways. And where it becomes super, super interesting is that most modern and the latest generation mobile phones all offer enormous benefits and promises around the camera ecosystem. And that all hangs off the AI and the processing power in real time that is sitting on a tiny little device with 24 hours worth of battery life in some cases in your pocket. So huge, huge technology changes in simple gear that we just use every day. Take a phone out, take a picture of the kids, a great scene, a lovely evening on the beach, you name it, and out pops the most spectacular, well-sorted photographs, the days of over and under exposure and blurry, fuzzy, old style sort of weird pictures are pretty much past simply because the camera itself and the phone and the device is thinking way ahead for you and allowing you to pretend that you're a top-notch photographer. And a discussion I had recently actually highlights this. For example, the latest generation of SLR or even compact cameras have become really expensive for two main good reasons. One, the quality and the technology is rare. It's expensive to produce. And the volumes that these cameras are selling in, you know, the latest Leicas and things of that nature, are low. So you are expensing enormous R&D and some really well-crafted lens technology over a much smaller pool of cameras. And the truth is, the only people that are going to buy those cameras are people who are really dedicated photographers, and you do get the most spectacular results. There's no question that a well-sorted camera in the hands of a true professional can produce pictures that are breathtaking, awe-inspiring, and just generally beautiful. Not to say that you and I, with our little cameras in our pockets, can't do similar stuff, and with the help of computing, that gap has dropped enormously. But still, there are truly great artists out there who add enormous value through brilliant and beautiful photography. But for the rest of us, the closest camera is the phone camera. It's no longer an SLR, which is big and bulky, with lenses that change, nor is it even a compact camera that you keep on your side and which you have to do things with. So we'll talk a lot about what's available in that space now, and we have never been better served by the amount of truly great cameras and bits and pieces. And that takes me straight into my gadget of the week. Time always flies when you're talking on air and talking about a subject like technology. But this week, or recently, the new Honor Magic 8 Pro has been launched. And the whole focus of this phone, it replaces the Magic 7 Pro from last year, and it's essentially outing itself to be the camera king. It's now officially available since March 1, so you can get it, and it's selling at a really That's not cheap. It's selling at around about 27,000 to 28,000 rand. Good deals from the mobile networks. It's cheaper than its predecessor. Thank goodness the rand has improved and it's trickling through to the tech we buy. But this seems to be the flagship with the best camera smartphone, or the smartphone camera, camera smartphone, whichever way you want to go, to date. It was launched towards the end of 25, but still, as a 26 device, it has a huge rear camera. It's a big circle. It's super imposing, triple lens with massive technology, 200 megapixel at main cameras and 50 megapixel zoom cameras and all that sort of tech talk, which makes a big difference. But where the magic is happening is absolutely at the pro level processing. And it's got a great display, but the AI that is built in that allows you to take the most, and literally, I mean, it's I don't want to use hyperbole like next level and all that good stuff. But the short period that I've seen this camera in action, the short period that I've played with this phone, has definitely concluded that if you're looking for a phone with the probably the most versatile camera, it's Android. Not to knock any of the stuff that's coming out from Samsung or anyone else, but this one at that price is pretty hard to beat in terms of the overall value, cost, and sheer quality of the camera. The rest of the phone is still top-end tech. Very fast processor, super sharp, very nice quality, front camera and very nice quality screen, great battery life, fast charging, absolutely everything you need in a flagship. And it's under the 30K barrier, which some of the top flagship phones have easily surpassed. It also comes with lots of memory. So if you're looking for an upgrade that is significant, and camera photography is something that you want to do, whether you're a content creator, whether you just want the best stuff to record your family, friends, or whatever you're doing, this is an imposing device. Really incredible. Honor, local. The support has always been good. Many, many years ago, they separated away from being the low-end brand of Huawei, but now they're a full member of the Android, and a lot of the technology, a lot of the AI in the back end there is Android from Google. So it is well supported, very nicely made, has some of the latest processor and other gadgets built in. So, and the literally the camera cannot be ignored, even with its generic little cover that comes in the box. This is one device that stands out. Whether it's upside down or whether it's even sitting face up on the thing, it's on the table. It's big, it's bold, it's well-built, and it certainly has one of the best cameras that I've ever played with. So if you're looking for a device that doesn't fit the norm, cuts the price, and gives you probably one of the better cameras out there, the new Honor Magic Pro 8 definitely ticks every box and works in that space. But what we're going to talk about after the break in a few secs is how AI photography has revolutionized photography in general, and certainly how it's become an integral part of mobile for all of us. So stay tuned for that in a few minutes. We're going to take a quick break for our sponsors now, and then we'll be back with a live read for one of our key sponsors, and then we'll talk all about how AI is changing and revolutionizing photography on mobile devices right now.
This is Tech Talk with Stephen Ambrose on 101.9 High FM.
Well, welcome back. And before we get stuck into AI computing photography, which is all the rage at the moment, in fact, it's the only game in town for photography, that is. Now, moving on to our key segment of the day and a discussion that I'm sure a lot of people have heard about. Some people have even given it some thought, but the vast majority of us, what we do, we take a camera or a phone out of our pocket. We see our little kid running down the road, grandpa with his grandchildren, whatever it is, great sports moments, some out in the bush, taking pictures there on the beach, on holiday, overseas. It doesn't matter where you are. your phone has become not only the way to get around, the way to communicate, the way to send emails and WhatsApps and phone and deal with whatever you deal with in a day, it has become the primary source of photography and cameras in the world across every nation and everybody. And for a really good reason. The old adage that the best camera is the camera you have in your pocket and or the closest camera. And there's no question about that. But starting 2-3 years ago, but even before that, there are a couple of massive limitations. Phones have to be, first of all, very careful with power usage. So you have to be extremely efficient in the power that you use when you do stuff. So flashes, taking cameras, keeping the screen on, all that good stuff. At the same time, the lenses that are possible in a tiny 9mm thick body, whatever you do, you only got so much stuff. And I mean, if you truly recall, when you watched a soccer match or you went to sport, these people with these massive long lenses and all the heavy camera equipment that literally could break your back was necessary to get some of these spectacular shots. And here you've got a tiny little goodie in your pocket that can do up to 100 times zoom, make sharp pictures in any light, and do it all basically by looking at the screen and pushing a button. Chip, chip, just quick like that. You make no decisions of f-stops and God knows what else, the little technical stuff that goes on. I'm not going to any of that stuff around photography. The camera and the phone automatically sets itself for the best lighting, for the best color, for the best detail, for the best whatever, motion even, and takes a picture which you can keep pretty much forever. Store it in the cloud, share it with your friends. So all of that is happening because of the AI or machine learning algorithms and processes. But AI has supercharged that. Prior, and AI is as a noticeable technology or as a branded separate technology is only 3 years old at most at the moment. Can you believe that in 3 years how much the world has changed in this regard? But prior to that, there were algorithmic and computational programs that improved your photographs in enormous, enormous ways. But AI has literally flipped the script. Some of the new on-device AI processors, like the new Samsung NPU or Apple's A19 neural engine, will analyze every single pixel that the camera takes in real time. And some of the technologies, and it's just useful to know because you can drop these in sort of friendly conversation, they call something called semantic segmentation. And what that means, AI understands what's in the scene. So it knows there's a sky, a person, a pet, a background, and literally treats each part differently. So then there's, and then allied to that, all of this is happening at the same time, there's generative reconstruction. The AI can and does fill in missing details or removes unwanted objects intelligently. Now, these AIs are trained on millions upon millions of images. And what is happening now with the growth in the processor and the memory, it does that processing privately on your phone. So it doesn't send this information to a cloud provider. You don't even need internet connectivity to get the best benefits out of these pictures. And the benefit of this is simply speed. When you push a button on a camera, you can't wait even a microsecond or 30 or 50 or a slight delay before the picture pops up. Now, in some cases, this does happen when you've got really low light. You notice your camera, your phone goes into sort of a mode where it takes a few seconds and says, please keep it still while it runs through millions of pictures and computational algorithms in order to transform that dark, out of focus picture into something you can actually recognize. But processing privately on your phone ticks two boxes. One, speed, and two, none of your data gets sent anywhere outside of your own device. And at the same time, there's other things going on. There's AI ISP, image signal processing, going on, doing four times more precise color work. They've got ProScaler, sharpening texts and details, and a whole lot of other algorithms that take the tone of the picture and adjust it either to a preset that you've set or to the most natural based on the information that the AI has been trained with. And these phones outperform, in many cases, dedicated cameras in everyday scenarios. Yes, you're a professional. Yes, you understand f-stops. You understand lighting. You understand all the technical nuances that you can set in your camera. And in fact, most of the top professional cameras have all of this built in any event, with the added advantage of massive lenses and much higher resolution. But for the most part, for you and I, it makes no difference, because the picture that you just quickly snap by pushing the button and pointing your camera or your phone at something is exactly the same process as the long lenses that the pros uses, or the long lens and cameras that the pros use. So you get perfect pictures shooting into the sun, low light or medium light in the evenings if you're on the Cape Town waterfront and you've seen this beautiful sunset, etc., etc. So computer or AI sort of influenced and managed and controlled photography has literally changed what was just hit and miss. You'd often get terrible pictures for doing very little, and you really needed to sit and hold still and do all sorts of stuff. Now you pull the camera out, take a picture, and off you go, and you've got some brilliant photos. And the best part of digital is you can take 30 in a row, like which one you like, and delete the rest or not, because you never know what you might miss. So the AI revolution in noise, in exposure, in sharpness, in detail, is just changing the way that cameras work. And the flagships, obviously, are leading the charge. So if you take the latest and the newly released Galaxy S26 series, they start at a pretty high 21,000, rising up to 34,000. The Galaxy Photo Assist is pretty insane. I mean, you can simply type in, use natural language, remove the tourist in the background if you're looking at a photo, make the sky bluer, change her outfit to a sweater, or even restore a missing piece of cake. So you've got a cake with a piece cut out, tell it to restore it. And I've tried this. It almost feels like magic. It's crazy. You simply ask it, and the AI suddenly composites elements across the photos. It turns day into night into seconds. It merges multiple shots pretty much seamlessly. It cleans up images. I took an amazing picture when I was traveling, and there was this ugly dustbin right in the middle of the picture. I simply asked it to remove the dustbin, and boom, it filled in the background absolutely perfectly. It was a seamless picture with my wife on the one side, lovely scenery in the background, and that ugly dustbin, which was great to keep dirt off the street, but not in my picture, was gone. Clean, simple, and absolutely done to perfection. Who would have thought that level of detail could be possible without Photoshop and fancy programs to fix your pictures? And if you want to enhance it a little bit more, a couple more questions can completely make it a little bit more moody, make things a little bit brighter, take away the reflections on the glasses, whatever. It just works simply by asking. And again, that is where AI has simply changed the game in many cases. And the AI ISP also works on the selfie camera. So it doesn't matter which camera you use, it changes the skin tones, makes them more natural, it enhances for night photography, and it also, in many cases, has something which, you know, video image stabilization, each one's got their own name, Samsung call it super steady video, but all of them now can make it while you're running, or you moving, or someone else is moving, instead of getting all these jumpy, choppy photos, it completely smooths it out and allows you to take a really professional-looking motion photograph or video with absolutely no downside to it at all. You don't lose resolution. You don't lose anything. You just get a picture that is smooth and stabilized like real pro cameras. And the Honor Magic Pro, which I just mentioned, also has heavy AI processing. Now, in some cases, it has overdone it. It's made things a little bit too unnatural. But often you can dial that back in some ways. But also, the standard algorithms have reached a level where you get really studio quality bokeh. You get those beautiful portraits with blurred backgrounds that are completely natural, without that sort of framing and little rimming around the person you're taking pictures of or the item that you're taking pictures of. So it is definitely very, very important to even, not even to think about this, but just to use these crazy cameras. And as I said, that Magic 8 Pro has got a 200 megapixel telephoto, complete with optical image stabilization. And I must say, something that you do realize, when you zoom in above 50 to 100 and start moving up to 200, the slightest movement of your hand is exaggerated 200 times. So very difficult, unless you've got a tripod, to take very sharp long distance or zoomed photos. And that's why using OIS, or optical image stabilization, in that case makes all the difference. It might be wobbling or shaking a little in your hand, but when you look at the picture, it's perfectly steady and reasonably sharp, despite the fact that you are zooming at 200 megapixels, and all of that out of a 9mm thick camera. So there's no long lenses, there's nothing. I mean, I remember 75 to 130 zoom lens on a Nikon was a big heavy device with lots of glass lenses. It was quite something, and then you needed special filters to remove, you know, spread and glow and all sorts of things, or to change the color tone. All of that happens now automatically in the processor itself. And if you look at the latest iPhone 17e, which is now not the flagship iPhone, and that's selling in the 11 to 12,000 Rand range, it's got the full A19 powered Magic processor built in, like the iPhone Pros at 32,000. Although the camera itself is a single 48 megapixel fusion camera with only 2x optical zoom, it still can do next generation portraits. And it can, what is so smart is that in the picture information that's stored, it will keep all the depth data. So you can move people, dogs and cats and stuff. You can adjust the focus, so you can move things in and out of focus after the fact. And you can clean up the picture for image removal after the fact. So all of this is happening with due consideration for our usage, because quite honestly, no one likes their phone to die halfway through the day, and fast, and you couple that with fast charging, it's a game changer for most of us. We don't even think about the type of things that we do with our camera. And for creators and small business, and for anybody who wants to use their camera, because we live in a very visual world. You look at X or Twitter, you look at Instagram, you look at any of the social medias, everything has a video attached to it. And the equipment to, at one stage, and even now, really high quality videos and high quality YouTubes and high quality media and stuff that's done for big billboards needs very, very high resolution and very expensive equipment. But for most of us, the quality that's available on even a mid-range phone, using all this AI and processing and computer management of the cameras built in, and the quality of these cameras in and of themselves, has really brought all these benefits to the average creator. And you can make the most insane videos for your own use, or for professional use, or for your business. And I believe that the trend for 2026 is AI for everyone on a device that you won't even notice. And that is the true magic of technology. When it no longer becomes something you have to deal with, it's not something you have to think about, it's not something you have to tweak the settings or get the best. I mean, the day of the blog of how to get the best out of your phone, how to get the best out of your camera, 15 tweaks that transforms your photograph, pretty much all of that is done. Not to take away the work of all the people who really have made a massive hobby out of this, but truth be told, that the built-in AI and the amount of analysis that has gone on in the back end to set up these algorithms and the AI platforms, which again run in a privacy of your device itself. It's not sending anything off to some sort of unknown cloud in the sky. And creating pictures in split seconds, you push the button, pop, up pops a brilliant picture. And starting from devices that are 10,000 Rand, you're not talking about enormously expensive cameras or enormously expensive phones. You're getting something that does both at a level that is professional, really smart, and really incredible. And on that note, we're going to have a quick break for our sponsors now, and then I'll be back with some more information around some devices that I've been playing with and some gadgets and gizmos. And we'll definitely discuss a little bit more about how you can use even your existing phone to take the most incredible videos and pictures and everything that you need to do. So, as I said, a lot of this feels like magic. I can snap a quick family photo at sunset and look like a professional. AI really has made great photography accessible to absolutely everybody with pretty much any phone. So we'll talk a little bit more about that in a few minutes, but we'll be back straight after this, and I will expand on some of that for you in a few minutes.
This is Tech Talk with Stephen Ambrose on 101.9 High FM.
Well, welcome back. And let's just round up the whole story around computational photography. Now, it sounds like, and for the most part, the latest cameras, the latest phones, the latest devices that have come out recently seem to have the best of everything. However, going back up to about 3 years, call it the Samsung range, the S24, S23, maybe not the S22 quite at the moment, but certainly going back 2-3 generations, the same thing for iOS, going back a couple of generations, they tend to be a little bit better. So the iPhone 13 going upwards are capable of doing a huge chunk of this type of computational photography benefits, along with AI across the platform. So Siri on an iPhone 13 is benefiting from AI the same way as the iPhone 17. The use of Google and Google AI on Samsung phones that are updated from S23 upwards definitely gives you a good portion of the AI that's available. So you don't have to rush out and buy the latest phone as an absolute must. I'm all for it, but I mean, reality is reality. And sometimes you pass your phone down to your kids or you pass them down to colleagues, and they can still get enormous benefit by updating the software to the latest versions of Android, the latest versions of iOS, because all of these updates bring all the back-end computational possibilities for that device. Now, there's no question the processor in an iPhone 13 or a Samsung S22 or even some of the earlier Honor or Oppo phones is not capable of processing quite the same level as the current latest generation devices can do. One, it's a memory thing, though memory hasn't actually grown by such a huge amount over the last couple of generations of phones, but certainly the sheer neural processing units or the sort of AI processing units that are built into the latest chipsets definitely help a lot. But for the most part, both iOS and Android have done an incredibly good job of bringing as much as is possible within the parameters of the processor built into the older phones for most of us. So you will find that if you do, and I mean, a lot of people tend to not worry about updates. Some of them are automatic, but other people are very scared they might lose something. I would say that the stories of that across everyone I track are very low. So if you have an older phone, 2, 3, even 4 generations old, if there is a software update, it is well worth doing, because every single one of the sort of operating system updates have got AI deeply, deeply embedded across every aspect of the device. So you'll find that simply without updating the camera itself, by tweaking and improving the software and the AI behind the camera, behind the screen, behind the processor, will improve the efficiency number one. So maybe slightly better battery life, even though aging batteries are a thing with older phones. But what it would definitely bring from a camera point of view is some of the processing improvements and ability to take better pictures with less hardware than you've ever had before. So the real benefits of updating are no longer simply security. They actually bring functional benefits in how your camera works, the types of AI you can use. And one or two generations back, the processors were still pretty good. And you could definitely get 80, 90, maybe even more percent worth of the AI benefits that are in the top flagship devices. And not to say that the delta is not there. You can get far better from the latest devices. But the improvement year on year has definitely got a little bit less noticeable. So if you've got a S24, to go to an S26, distinctly better camera, better screen. It's got that wonderful, the 26 got that wonderful privacy screen, which is switch onable in the software. It's built into the actual screen itself, which is pretty cool. All these little tweaks make for significant value for newer phones. But the older phone, for the most part, will do the same type of computational processing on the camera. It will offer you the same AI benefits across all the platforms, voice recognition, AI assistance, all sorts of other elements of the device where AI has become firmly embedded. That definitely goes for the iPhone 13 and up with the incorporation. I think I've mentioned it, that Apple are now working very closely with Gemini from Google to bring AI at another level, something that, interestingly, Samsung have been doing since day dot. And I think they actually do have the edge in terms of pure AI. But certainly, if you're an iOS user, you'll find that the AI and the Android AI are getting very close in general, and you're not finding massive differences. However, keeping our focus on cameras, each one has its little pluses and negatives, but generally, you'll find that the quality of camera processing and picture ability and video ability of these latest devices, even going back 2-3 years, has expanded in leaps and bounds, and you're going to see more and more benefit as we move ahead, as the AI refines. For example, Microsoft have definitely now created the ability to run billions of computational on very simple processes, you know, computational AI tokens, as they call them, on very low-end gear, which makes a huge difference. The implication of that is that you can run a full AI LLM on a really old computer, old device, old phone, and get exactly the same performance as the cutting-edge, fastest, best processors that you can find. And that has, again, two implications. One, you can do things on older phones or smaller processors that you never thought you could do before. And two, if it's that powerful, what you can do on a really fast processor that is much, much, much faster and can handle much more processing than the older processors, the speed at which LLMs and AI will improve is exponential, as it has always been. So we're going to see benefits for older and exponential benefits for newer. So the old upgrade cycle of every 2-3 years remains. I believe that there's massive benefit if you've got a three-year-old device to upgrade. 2 years, not so much. 1 year, probably not. But if you're a gadget, aficionado, which many of us are, it definitely makes benefit to stay on, makes some sense to benefit from the improvements that creep up year on year on year. Even though, for the most part, from what I've seen, 2026 is looking like a fairly incremental. There's a lot of hype, a lot of push, obviously, to sell the latest and the greatest. But the differences between 2025 devices and 2026 devices is mostly in the software and the implementation of that software. And for most of us, you'll find that Android, you know, the latest software will lag the 26 flagships by 4 to 6 months. And then a lot, probably 98% of those benefits, processor dependent and memory dependent, will be available on last year's phones or devices. So don't be hasty in your upgrade. But at the same token, if it makes sense and it's financially viable, having the latest gear will always keep you up to date for the longest period of time. Now, just to close out today, I want to discuss one last gadget spotlight. There are a couple of things that are going on. And Acer and Intel, I just want to bring this up because I think I've not spoken about the impact of AI on business and how PCs are going to change things. For most of us, using a tablet or a phone is enough of a PC for the most general usage. People still have laptops at home, and educational and business definitely run on laptops. And the end of laptops without AI built in is pretty much here. You almost cannot buy a new processor or a new laptop. In fact, I would go as far as say you cannot buy anything that's Intel based on the latest processors that doesn't have artificial intelligence built in, the acceleration that's allowed through that built directly in. So Acer announced at a recent event in Italy a new TravelMate Copilot range. Now, Copilot is the Microsoft version of AI, one that I'm not entirely blown away with. It's pretty useful. It's fully integrated and deeply integrated into the OS now, into the Office stack that you may use. And it is definitely coming to the lowest. So the core Ultra Series 3 processors and some of the lower processors have got all this built in. So in semiconductor manufacturing, a node refers to a generation of chip production technology that determines how small and densely packed those transistors can be. Now, each node typically allows processors to deliver higher performance and improved energy efficiency. Because as they get smaller, as they get smarter, and using AI to manage them, you can really enhance the processing and at the same time make it far more efficient in energy usage. So the net effect on all these latest Intel processors, which are being included in some of the new Acer laptops, something that I will look at and talk about on the show in the next couple of weeks, are definitely becoming, one, much more responsive and processing much harder, and using that extra processing power to use AI to make decisions and to do transformations of video, to give you all the translation and video editing and everything that you would use on a laptop, but at the same time give you long battery life and a lot of improvement in efficiency, cooler, faster, and lighter laptops. So we'll talk a little bit more about that, and we'll wrap up with one or two real deals that are coming to the South African market straight after this.
This is Tech Talk with Stephen Ambrose on 101.9 High FM.
Well, welcome back. And just to wrap up where we are today, the new Acer products, something that they were working with Intel, are going to offer up to 27 hours of battery life in a laptop, which is pretty insane. 77% faster graphics, and this is all based on AI-developed processors, and 60% faster CPU. So when you start looking at these sort of numbers, and I mean phones have definitely moved into a whole new generation in terms of processing power, and often phones had faster processors than a two-year-old laptop. The new laptops are definitely going to, across all the manufacturers, but certainly Acer have always been right up front and pushing some new ones, are going to get super fast, super capable, and keeping the pricing at a fairly reasonable level. So it's not just the top end as the good old Core i7 with lots of memory chips, which cost a lot of money in the top end phone computers. But you're seeing the same sort of benefits coming to much lower cost computers across the market. And I think there's a whole new range of those coming in very short order, and they will be available in South Africa. Mostly they're talking about how much LLM performance is improved, close to five times improvement in LLM performance on the device. As I mentioned, Microsoft are offering really high-end LLM functionality without you moving to the cloud. And for a lot of people, sovereign cloud has become a big thing. In other words, your data doesn't leave the country, it doesn't leave your device. And the whole privacy element of giving enormous amounts of information to LLMs and letting it be used for everybody is a bit of a nightmare for business. Business would rather keep all the information nice and tightly packed and nice and tightly secured for their own use. Yet at the same time, it definitely helps to have all that information available through an LLM to all the people in the business to be used in really smart and effective ways. And all of that is happening on the device. It's happening privately on your computer. And the technology, the actual hardware behind all these devices is evolving at a rapid rate. We saw that last week with all the new processors, the M4 and M5 chips coming out of Apple in their latest MacBooks at really reasonable prices. The same thing is now evolving into the sort of Intel Windows laptops that, for the most part, still power 95% of businesses, and you and I, because the pricing of those laptops has been low. But the equation, the value equation, has now shifted considerably, and you're seeing far faster, far more capable, far more powerful, and much more energy efficient laptops coming to the market at prices that don't entirely break the bank. And in other last minute news, another Chinese phone, the Oppo Reno 15 series, is now available in South Africa at really good pricing, well below 20K, depending on where you are, with big batteries, massive flagship level AI cameras, really interesting physical look and feel, and good quality service and support. So the market has actually opened up enormously. I mean, dominated for the most part in the high end by Samsung and Apple for many, many years. The Oppos and the various Honors and other devices are moving up really quickly into the sort of value high-end market. So between 10 and 20, just over 20,000, definitely makes a big difference. So check these out. I think you're going to find that they're really good product at really good prices, and they're available with good support within the South African market. One last thing I was mentioning, Acer. I did pick up this week. There's some incredible Acer monitor deals floating around. Check it out across the various online places if you're looking for a really good quality monitor. I must say I've used Acer in the past and found them to be really good value and good quality, especially their 240 Hertz gaming monitor. So have a look. And those are locally made, which is quite a big thing. Well, locally made means probably locally assembled. But still, it keeps the price good, it keeps it low, and it certainly brings value. And aren't we all looking for value at some level? So on that note, just to wrap up, computational photography is not something you need to think about, but it's baked into every single one of the devices that you put out of your pocket, and more even into the laptop you use for business. And on that note, I'm afraid our time is up. More gadgets and gizmos right here on a Friday, just to set you up for the weekend, with Stephen Ambrose for Tech Talk on High FM.